It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we will begin this morning with something very out of the ordinary. At this moment, students all over the area, in fact, all over the Eastern time zone, are leaving their school buildings for that 17-minute walkout for school safety and to protest our country's lax gun laws. It's 17 minutes in honor of the 17 people killed at the high school in Parkland, Florida. So we begin with 17 minutes of live coverage. We have students and some of our reporters standing by to speak live on the air from schools around the region. And we'll open the phones now, too. As you walk out, feel free to call in if any student happens to be listening. The invitation is good for teachers and school administrators, too, and parents of students who are or aren't walking out. Did you go to school to observe this moment and you're listening in your car or something? Or maybe you're home and just letting it happen. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. WNYC's youth and justice correspondent Sarah Gonzalez is going to help us cover this. She's with me in the studio. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Brian.
And let's go right now to New Jersey correspondent Karen Rouse, who is at Hightstown High School. Karen, can you hear me?
I can, Brian. Are you hearing me okay?
I can hear you just fine. So it's 1 minute after 10 o'clock right now. Are students exiting the building?
Yeah, they actually started exiting about 20 minutes to 10. And, I mean, hundreds of kids walked out. I mean, you see them, and I'm at a distance. I'm behind the barricade because it is a closed campus. But hundreds of kids started filing out. You can see them in their hoodies. They're all bundled up because it's very cold and windy out here. And they filed out onto the school track behind the high school, and they just kept circling the track until everybody was there, and they kept walking the track. And right at 10 o'clock, they just read the first name. So the students are sort of gathering at one spot and just remaining silent and standing still. It's kind of a poignant moment. But you see them bundled up and just sort of kind of giving that honor to the people who were killed in Florida.
What are the demographics at Hightstown High School?
It's a very racially diverse school. I mean, black, brown, white kids. You know, this is a very small town. It's in sort of central Jersey. It's the kind of town that has, you know, the water tower, and, you know, it's a very small community here. Yeah, it's very racially diverse. They're out here in a very big open field surrounded by trees. There's snow on the lawn. They just read another name.
And Karen, we're going to check back with you in a few minutes. Right now, we're going to go up to Jay Shaw, reporter for public station WSHU in Connecticut. He's at Harding High School in Bridgeport. Hello, Davis.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mixed up our two reporters. It's Jay Shaw from WSHU, but at Herricks High School in Western Nassau County. Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Can you set the scene for us at Herricks High School?
Well, the event is set to start at 10:05 a.m., so students are just starting to trickle out. There's a flagpole flying half-mast. There's snow on the ground. Students are bundled up because it's very chilly outside. When I spoke to the student organizers yesterday, they said that they expect most of the 1,500 student body to show up, and that's because the school officials made time in the day's schedule for the event. So no one will be, no one's going to be punished for attending or choosing to attend the event.
Are there any rules for what is to happen during the 17 minutes?
For the 17 minutes, they plan on gathering at first and then singing the national anthem, reading a letter that they received from Marjorie Stoneman survivor. And then they're going to take time to say the names of every single victim of the Parkland shooting. And then after all that, they're going to dedicate the remaining time to discuss amongst themselves what to do next when it comes to ending violence in schools.
Jay, thank you. We'll check back with you in a few minutes. Now we'll go to Davis Donovan at Harding High School in Bridgeport. Davis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Good. And I can hear some students in the background, I think. What's happening?
Quite a few. I just spoke to the principal a few minutes before 10, and he said, we're thinking 60, 70 students. This is well more than that. So Students have filed out onto the track. They're, I don't know how loud you're hearing right now, but it must be quite loud. Hundreds of students at this school, which has about 1,000 total students. And now they're walking. I'm watching them sort of form a line and coalesce and start walking around the track. A lot of them have signs, love not guns. They're still filing out of the building. It must be close to the majority of the students at the school.
Now, even with those numbers, that would still leave a lot of students who aren't participating. Have you been able to get a sense that there's political division in the student body, or why some are, many aren't, it sounds like?
So this, I feel like at this school, you know, we're in Bridgeport. It's Connecticut's largest city. This is East Bridgeport. It's a very racially diverse school, really in close to the heart of the city. I get a sense that the political division plays out a lot more in some of Connecticut's smaller towns or suburbs than here. This has a lot of support from the administration. In fact, the mayor of Bridgeport is here, Joe Ganim, who's running for governor.
Davis Donovan, WSHU, public radio reporter at Harding High School in Bridgeport. We'll check back with you a little later on during these 17 minutes. And Sarah Gonzalez in our studio, you've been reporting in advance of this day. Is it your sense that there will be very widespread participation, or that it will vary, as Davis was kind of indicating there, very much between urban and suburban schools, or maybe higher and lower income areas?
Yeah, so I think I've heard from a lot of students who have taken it upon themselves to organize their school's walkout, and they're all doing it a little differently. They're all doing it their own way. And many of the organizers of these walkouts said, you know, if there are people who don't support this, we don't really hear from them. They're kind of a quiet bunch. That said, there are students who don't support the message of these walkouts. I've heard from a parent in Staten Island who said her school is sort of encouraging kids not to participate in it. We know of a school in Sayreville, New Jersey, who has sort of been threatening, I guess, students who participate in the walkout, saying that they would be suspended out of school, which is not in line with their discipline policy for when students cut class. They're supposed to get detention, not out of school suspension. So.
In fact, it may not be just Sayreville where that's a conflict. Let's take a phone call from Kimberly in Morristown. Kimberly, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
Tell us your story.
My daughter is a junior at Morristown High School, and they had organized a walk out of the building and to have some speakers and then go to lunch. Their lunch is at 10:40. And they were told they could only walk out of their classrooms into the hallway, and there would be announcements, and then they had to go back into their classrooms. And any student who walked out of the building would get a 4-day suspension.
Did they say why?
It wasn't related to me why. I believe it's safety is their the umbrella under which they are stating that this is the reason. They want to keep the students safe.
Safe from what, may I ask, as the school walkout itself is supposed to be for safety from gun violence?
I wouldn't know. I know that there has been a huge ramp up in security since the Parkland shooting. There is talk about having metal detectors that the students have to walk through. They have been told that they're not allowed to leave any door in the building except the front door. As a matter of fact, alarms have been posted in every door, and the police presence has been also increased.
Kimberly, let me just ask you very briefly before we go to our next caller, who's a student in the Bronx who is walking out. What was your reaction as a parent? What did you tell your child? You sound distressed about them being not allowed to walk out.
I told her to get suspended.
Really?
Yeah, I told her I'd support her.
Is she doing it?
I don't know. I think that's going to come down to how many other students will do it, too. I don't know that she's quite that much of a lone wolf to do it on her own.
Kimberly, thank you so much for checking. Oh, Sarah Gonzalez, you have a question for Kimberly?
No, so I just wanted to say that I have been hearing from students who's on social media, especially, who are saying, like, if you're going to get suspended over this, wouldn't that be a great college essay to write about? Like, I got suspended over something that I actually care about and feel passionate about. And a lot of parents are saying, if that's the consequence, we support it.
Kimberly, yeah. Good luck to you and your child.
Thank you so much. Take care.
So news department, it seems like we have a story here. It's not just Sarahville High School. It's also Morristown. Now let's go to Esther in the Bronx, who is a junior at, I think, the New Visions Charter School. Esther, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us what you're doing and what's the scene.
Right now, like, we started at 10. We just walked out of our classrooms. And early this morning, my English teacher wrote down the phone number for this and said that we can call and just, you know, talk about how we're feeling. Like, this morning, we just wrote letters to our representatives and, like, Congress members and stuff like that, talking about how we feel about a lot of the stuff that's just been going down lately. So our school's, like, pretty supportive of us.
What did you write in your letter? How do you feel?
When I'm older, I want to, you know, be an astronomer. And I feel like coming to school, that should be my main focus. That should be my goal. I shouldn't be coming to school scared that I won't be able to go home. You know, like, and the fact that that's our reality now, where we have a lot more lockdown drills than ever before and sheltering. And, you know, that's just not what school is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a safe environment for us to learn. And it doesn't feel that way anymore now. Like, even, like, the amount of shootings that have happened since, like, the last one, it doesn't feel, like, just good anymore. And that's something that has to change. And I know that we are the students, and if change is going to happen, it has to come from us, honestly, because no one else is going to do it for us.
Esther, some people say this is more of a suburban issue and a rural issue, and students in the Bronx, like you are more concerned about there not being metal detectors at your schools and not feeling like you're over-policed in the city. Would that be a misreading by the media if they think that about kids in the Bronx?
Oh, absolutely. What? Honestly, my school does have metal detectors. It does. But that doesn't mean that, like, even though, yes, this may certainly be, you know what, this shouldn't even be a problem that has to deal with people in a certain area. Because us as students, if it happens to one place, it's up to all of us to stand together in solidarity. It doesn't matter if it happens in somewhere rural or if it happens here in the city where I live. It's a problem for everyone, and it's a problem that we should be paying attention to regardless of where we live.
Esther, good luck today. Thank you so much for checking in with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's go now to Lily Fiegler, a freshman at Wall Township High School in New Jersey. Lily, it's Brian Lehrer at WNYC. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Set the scene for us. What's happening at Wall?
Well, we have our groups of students outside, and we're playing music, and we're all holding hands for unification.
Uh-huh. And are people giving speeches?
No, we're just standing as a moment of silence.
And are you? Do you have the support of your school administration?
Yes, we do. The teachers came outside with us just to make sure that we were safe and that nothing was happening.
What do you hope the message is that you and so many other students around the country are delivering this morning?
The message that I hope that we send is that, you know, we're not just going to sit here and live in fear anymore. This isn't just an adult issue. They don't get some of the stuff that we have to live with and the how terrifying it is to think that we aren't safe and that nobody's safe. So we have to be able to stand up and say, we're not going to take it anymore. You can't make our decisions for us anymore.
Lily, thank you so much for checking in with us. We really appreciate it. Now, with me in the studio is Sarah Gonzalez, our youth and justice reporter. Sarah, it's amazing so far, and we're going to keep taking phone calls. And listeners, if you're just joining us, we're doing 17 minutes of special coverage during the 17-minute walkout in honor of the 17 people who died at the high school in Parkland exactly 1 month ago today. That was February 14th. Today is March 14th, and the 17-minute high school and even some lower grades walkout is supposed to be taking place at exactly 10 a.m. local time. So it's now in the Eastern time zone. It'll be in an hour in the Central, et cetera. And Sarah, we're 14 minutes into it. It's amazing what we've been hearing from these students.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, the way that this is happening in elementary schools versus middle schools versus high schools is really different. There's a school in Brooklyn, PS8. They sent out an email to parents sort of telling them what the rules are there and reassuring parents that, you know, for the grades K through 3, kindergarten through third grade, they don't speak specifically about gun violence and gun deaths. Because they don't think it's very age appropriate. Once they reach fifth grade, they kind of start having those conversations. And so in the lower grades at that school, there is what they call No Place for Hate Ambassadors. And they're just going to be reading this poem about, you know, being kind to one another and walking out, forming a circle around the school and holding hands. And so it's, you know, it's more age appropriate. I will say there's a school in the Bronx that is, you know, we're hearing a lot of comments about students being safe during this walkout. And that is a concern. The DOE said that they're assigning staff members at every school in New York City to be outside with students just to make sure that there's order. And, you know, and there's a school that's requiring permission slips for students to get back into the school because they say, you know, we want students to have their parents' permission to walk out. And for one student who I spoke to, Leah Yose, she said, you know, that this kind of feels like a field trip instead of a protest. And she goes to a very high achieving school. And she's concerned that if students have to go home, or if they had to go home, ask their parents for permission to participate in ditching school, that they wouldn't do it, and that this would prevent them from walking out when they want to.
By the way, Kimberly in Morristown, Twitter is really blowing up with your story. So many people in support of you telling your daughter to walk out and get suspended if that's what she believed in. So you can have a lot of support out there, and your daughter is, if she actually does it, even though Morristown High School isn't allowing kids to walk out right now. With us next is Ali Boivab, 15 years old, a student at the Brooklyn Latin School. Thank you so much, Ali, for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Can you set the
scene?
Go ahead. You want to say something? You can go.
I'm just amazed by the sheer magnitude of students that I see here, my fellow peers and my classmates, my teachers who are here to support us and to make sure that and ensure our safety, essentially. But the atmosphere here is very serious. We're all taking a moment of silence. I look at every single of my classmates, and I can see that how sincere we are to this cause, and the fact that we are coming to this realization that the war that's fought in the Congress is getting students slaughtered, and we cannot be doing this anymore. I think that this walkout here, students coming out and showing their side of activism, is a statement to the government, to our officials, to finally take action, because we cannot take this anymore. This could have been us. This could have been our school. It could have been my friend. It could have been my teacher. And when I think about that, my teacher doesn't have to come to school, which is a sanctuary for students to grow and heal. She doesn't have to come here and worry about a shooter. That's not her job, and that's not our job to worry about that.
Ali, beautifully said. And Brooklyn Latin is one of those specialized high schools, as they're called, that students test into in New York City. So a lot of very high-achieving mm-hmm. kids aiming for top colleges. Do you find among your peers that they tend to be in any way less politically active, more focused on themselves, or more in fear of any blemish on their school records than you think might be the case at other schools?
Well, I'm a freshman here, but I did not expect this turnout, but when we organized and spread the word and allowed our student council to speak to the students, we realized that we have a lot of activists here in our school. We are both academically involved, and now I realize that we are also politically involved, and we are involved in terms of improving our world and improving our school, essentially, because this is a threat to us. It's not only a threat to schools that are perhaps in other areas where guns are more easily accessible, but even in New York City, I think we are vulnerable. Every school is vulnerable after the Parkland attack. So it's crucial for us to be outside, and I realized that it wasn't only my realization, it was the realization of my fellow students.
Ali, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. I'll let you go back to your friends there and participate in what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And we have on the line now Nusrat Waheed, a senior at the Academy of American Studies in Long Island City. Nusrat, thank you for coming on. Welcome
to WNYC.
Can you hear us, Nusrat? Yes, you are on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
So, set the scene. Where are you? What's it like?
Hi, Brian. Sorry, hold on. I'm Nusrat Waheed. Hi, Brian. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just asking you where you are exactly and what's going on there.
So we're in the courtyard. We're just finishing up. The students are walking back in. There's a lot of high energy here. We're putting back our posters. We're walking back. I think it went really well.
And it's now 10:20, so I guess kids are starting to go back. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you decide to walk out for 17 minutes?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Why did you decide to participate?
Why did I decide to participate?
Uh-huh.
I think there are a variety of reasons, and it's mostly because when I saw the videos of what happened in Parkland, it made it more real, and it made me realize that there's a lot more at stake than just simple politics. It's our own lives that are at risk. I have a younger brother. He's a freshman in high school, and I don't think I'd ever want this to happen to him, ever.
I'm told that 2 days before the Parkland shooting, a student at your school threatened on social media that he was going to shoot up the school. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian, what did you say?
I was told that 2 days before the Parkland shooting, a student at your school threatened on social media to shoot up your school. Did you know about that?
I was not aware of that, no. Okay. I mean, I was not aware of that, but now that you inform me, that's a very scary thought. And I think the people at our school here, we try our best to support each other to make sure that our community is well-served and so that we cater to everyone else. I wasn't aware that one of us
I just want to say that I have that from one source, and it is possible that I have it wrong, Sarah Gonzalez.
Yeah, it's possible that we have that wrong, so let's not put that out there that there was a shooting threat at her school in particular.
Nusrat, tell me one other thing. Do you plan to stay active after the walkout today?
Yes, definitely. I plan to attend Evening of Action. There's another event that's going on Friday afternoon. I plan to event the March for Our Lives. This is an important cause, and it's important to stay active with it.
Nusrat Waheed, senior at the Academy of American Studies in Long Island City. Thank you so much. Good luck the rest
of
the
day.
And we're going to go to Julia, a student at Bloomfield. Oops, we just lost Julia. All right. So instead, we'll go to Joel, who I think is a middle school teacher at the Greenhill School in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Joel, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Brian. I'm here. Thanks for taking our call. If it's okay with you, I'd love to have the students, the eighth graders that organized the event, talk to you for the walkout.
Of course, you could do that. You want to just set the scene for us a little bit? Middle school is different from high school. Are you doing different things?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually a K-8 progressive school, so we're doing different things across the grades. I think in the middle school, the eighth grade had some education in their activism course first, and then brought that into teaching the sixth and seventh grade, and then also went down and taught the fifth grade a bit. And so on all levels, there are different forms of the protest and the walkout. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess so. Did you want to put a student or two on? You can do that.
I would love, yeah. I have two of the organizers here. Let's try it on speakerphone, and then we'll see if you can hear them.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
My name is Una Montandon.
And I'm Tyler Phillips.
And Una, Tyler, tell us what you're doing today.
All right, well, so today we organized a big middle school 10s incorporating 7s walkout, and we marched around our blocks with chants that we created, and we got to see, like, our middle school and some younger kids come together.
Right.
And we also were given the opportunity to, like, go down and talk about it, and, like, we just organized a really big movement in our school, and that's something that I think we're really proud
of. It was really amazing seeing, I mean, we got these 10-year-olds who may not even have known about the movement before this event, and they were chanting with us, and they had their signs, and it was...
Our science teacher just told us that she overheard two, like, fifth graders talking, and one of them said, I'm really happy we're out here because I feel like we are genuinely making a difference. And I feel like that's everything that we wanted to hear. That's the feeling that we wanted to invoke in, like, the younger kids, feeling like they had a voice and that they could make bigger changes.
You said you have signs. What does your sign say, or anybody's sign?
We use a lot of hashtag enough.
We have give people hugs, not guns. We need teachers, not soldiers, and teachers, not sharpshooters.
Right. A lot of, there were a few kids who used the protect lives, not guns.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites was from the fifth grader. She said 18th century laws for 21st century weapons. That's something that I really felt.
Do you, what would you say to some grown-ups out there who might say, hey, you know, high school students, middle school students, you can't understand the issues as well as the experts, so your voices shouldn't matter as much?
What I want to say is, like, I understand how people might think or not experience, but
I know right from wrong.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we are fighting for our lives, and I feel like that's the biggest thing that people don't understand. We might not, a lot of the people that they're calling experts are funded by the NRA, but that's a big thing. But at the end of the day, we know we want to be alive, and we find different channels and we find different ways to procure that goal of living through school and being safe at school and feeling safe at our school.
We aren't able to vote, which I understand, but still kind of irks me. We're forced to channel all of these feelings and all of what we know we can do into these events and these walkouts and these marches. And to be able to do that, even if we don't have an actual voice in the legislation.
You're frustrated with not being able to vote. How old are you?
13.
What do you think the voting age should be?
14. This is something that I told my parents. I feel like this should be a test.
Yeah.
Like, if you're younger and want to be able to vote.
Oh, you get it automatically at 18, but you get a test if you're younger to see if you're sufficiently informed. Well, you two are obviously really read on the news, so thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. Please thank your teacher, Joel, for us, for calling in and setting you two up. That was awesome. Sarah Gonzalez?
I do want to say there are a lot of the students who we heard from, like Newshead, and others say that part of this walkout is registering students to vote after the walkout and in the days after the walkout leading up to the next march, which is the March for Our Lives, another national march for gun reform on the 24th. And, you know, they point out that there are a lot of high school seniors who are 18 or are turning 18 this year. And what they want to do is they want to be the generation that votes out lawmakers that don't support gun laws that keep students safe. That is what they keep saying to me.
Let's finish up this special coverage by going back briefly to a couple of our reporters who are fanned out around the area, and then Governor Phil Murphy is going to join us for his first appearance since being elected, and he's going to take your calls from around New Jersey. Our New Jersey reporter Karen Rouse is at Hightstown High School. So Karen, is it over now there?
Hey Brian, it ended about 5 minutes ago. All the kids walked back into the school. There were hundreds of kids here, And there was also a grandmother, actually, who came out just for a few minutes. She wanted to, she was hoping to join the kids. She didn't realize that it was a closed event, but she said she has 6 grandchildren and they're not here in Hightstown, they're in other districts, but she's like, you know, we have to support these kids. She's like, they spend as much time in school as they do at home and that they need to be safe. And so she stood for quite a while in the cold and watched them and just sort of like joined them remotely.
Karen, thank you. And we'll go back one more time to WSHU, Public Radio's Davis Donovan at Harding High School in Bridgeport. Davis, is it over there?
Yeah, hi, Brian. It's wrapped up here. The students headed back inside. They were they're out on the field in the cold and the snow. It's cold out here and muddy, but hundreds of students came out. And it was actually very powerful. One of the student organizers leading the event said, how many students here have been near a gun? Almost all of them raised their hands. She said, how many students have lost someone to gun violence? I would say more than half raised their hands.
Wow.
We heard from, it was a powerful, very sobering moment. We heard from the superintendent of the school system in Bridgeport, said she supported them. Bridgeport is the largest city in Connecticut. Heard from the mayor of Bridgeport, who is, as I mentioned before, is running for governor, also said that he supported them, and they walked with the students both in and out.
Davis, thank you very much for helping us report this story today. WNYC Youth and Justice Correspondent Sarah Gonzalez, thank you very much for setting up so much of this coverage this morning.
Of course.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks to all you amazing students and parents and teachers and everybody who called in for our special coverage, 17 minutes, and we added another 13 minutes because you were all so amazing, of the 17-minute walkout, which started at 10 o'clock in honor of the 17 people who were killed at the high school in Parkland, Florida. This 1 month to the day since that shooting.